Guitarist Robin Trower and his band join us live today. An original member of Procol Harum, Robin left the group in the early 70s for a solo career of gloriously atmospheric guitar-centered albums and an arena rock career here in the United States. We'll talk with Robin in a bit, but here he is in our studio with a performance of a couple of classics, starting with Day of the Eagle.
We'll be right back.
Robin Trower and this great band playing live for us today with one you know, Bridge of Sighs and Day of the Eagle, the two that are together in the set list and two are together in our set list today as well. There's something about the guitar trio, the power trio, if you will, that is it's
just the right amount of people. It leaves a lot of room for you. Now today there are four people because who's singing? Who's playing?
Well, we've got Davey Patterson on vocals and Glenn Letcher on bass and Pete Thompson on drums. And this is my sort of touring band, you know.
But to get back to that, there's something about the three piece. Did you try, and when you left Procol Harum, did you try larger bands at first and settle on this? Or
no, I always knew I wanted to do guitar, bass, and drums. It's as you say, it gives you a lot more space. You have to work harder because everybody in the band is making up for an instrument that's missing. But that's what gives it its dynamic quality, is the fact that you're having to push that little bit harder.
Now, as for you, what does that mean? It means kind of putting rhythm tracks in with your soloing work? Well,
playing live, when you go to solo, obviously you're dropping out your rhythm track. And that means you have to keep the sound full. So it's a whole style of playing lead work that keeps the sound full, you know.
One of the things, just watching you play, when you say that, you really, it's the fact that you've always played Stratocasters and the way you play, there's so much sustain and that leads to so much emotion. Is the Stratocaster really the center part of that, or is it the rig?
It is the whole rig. Obviously, the Strat is the thing with the voice. It's got that voice. It's like I've always thought of it as a human quality to the voice of a Strat. And, you know, as you say, the sustain is a big part of it, and that means why I have to play at a certain volume. I have to play pretty loud, basically.
Right.
To get that thing, you know, just keeps on, the sound just keeps going, you know.
How's your hearing after all these years?
I'm afraid it's not what it was.
Really? You notice
it? Oh, yeah, definitely, yeah.
But you don't wear earplugs?
No. I think, to be honest, because I'm standing in front of the rig, I'm not pointing my ear at it, but I think that I've got hearing damage over the years from the odd place where it's sort of bounced off somewhere else and hit me, you know. But, you know, there's always a downside to every up.
Now, in terms of guitar influences on you, I've heard you mention Hubert Sumlin, who's Howlin' Wolf's guitar player, who seems to be at the basis of so many, particularly British guitar players.
Yeah.
Did Howlin' Wolf tour in England and people get a chance to see him, or how did he hold sway?
Well, Howlin' Wolf did come over, but I don't think he had Hubert Sumlin with him when I saw him, but I'm sure he must have done other times. I was lucky enough when I was in Procol Harum to be on the bill with Howlin' Wolf one time in Chicago, which obviously Hubert Sumlin was playing. But I think Hubert Sumlin is very underrated, you know, because for a blues player, he invented a much wilder way of playing, which sort of took it on from B.B. King and that kind of thing, you know, and became more aggressive and sort of led to a lot of the rock and roll players like myself.
What about his tone?
I think, you know, that's a big influence on a lot of people. You know, that very overloaded, distorted sound. I think that was, you know, I mean, that's what we're all trying to, you know, find is those sort of magical sort of voices, overload, overdrive kind of thing, you know. But, and obviously I do feel sort of Jimi Hendrix was maybe coming from the Hubert Sumlin kind of side of blues. And again, obviously he was a huge influence on me as well.
Absolutely. And he would get inside the tone, obviously the way that you do as well. Yeah. Do you remember when you first came across a wah-wah pedal?
I'm trying to think. No one's ever asked me that before. Let me think. When did I first come across that?
Because you would have been in the generation where it was a new piece of gear.
Yeah. I'm sure it must have been when I was in Procol Harum.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think I tried it in Procol Harum. That's right.
Now, people may not know, but before Robin was in Procol Harum. He was in another band with that coincidentally Gary Brooker was part of, which was Paramount.
That's right.
And what did the Paramounts play?
We basically used to cover a lot of rhythm and blues stuff. James Brown, Ray Charles. We used to do some rock and roll as well, but mostly rhythm and blues, you know, and that was our schooling when we were growing up.
And when Whiter Shade of Pale came out, Gary called Robin and said, come join this band. Because my understanding is when that happened, there was not a band.
Well, the thing is, when they cut Whiter Shade of Pale, which was their first record, they had a guitar player and a drummer in the band, but the drummer didn't play on White Shadow Pale. They got a session player in because the producer wasn't happy with the drummer. I think that's what it was. But anyway, they decided to bring in myself and BJ Wilson to you know sort of finish off the lineup.
Face at first just go steam. Turn the wider shade off.
Now, when you left the band, I've always surmised, well, you know, it was two keyboards in the band. There wasn't enough space for him to play guitar, but that's not your take on it? Or
well, it, in a way it is. It's just that I started to write more and more guitar-based songs, and I just felt, well, that isn't the sound of Procol Harum, you know. They need to go their way, and I need to go mine. That was it, really.
Was it tough getting Whiskey Train on that album?
No, not at all. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, they were great about stuff that I wanted, you know, I was coming up with, but I just felt I was writing so many things that there just wasn't space for it on a Procol Harum album.
Because Whiskey Train does sort of take them out of their pocket,
yeah,
shall we say.
Definitely.
But this is a classic Robin Trower's tunes with Procol Harum, and this is Whiskey Train. There's one you may well know from our guest, Robin Trower, who's with us today. We're going to get to another tune live in the studio with this this great band. Now, I've heard you say that your audience now is more in the States than elsewhere.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, it's always been about the States for me. Mm-hmm. I've struggled elsewhere in the world, really, to sell records. And the thing is, I have sold a lot of records in the U.S., and that is why I have a base over here, you know, a base of followers, as it were, people who are interested in coming to shows.
And then more so than in England. It was that's interesting.
Yeah,
I didn't realize that.
Well, I also think it's because my music is so derivative of American music, whereas I think a lot of British artists, you know, they speak more to their home country, if you know what I mean.
No, I can see that.
Yeah.
Totally. Well, what would you like to finish off our set with today?
Well, can we do Go My Way?
You bet. We'll be right back.
Go My Way, finishing up our set from Robin Trower, and thanks to Robin and the band for joining us live today on The Cafe. Coming up, we have the new Portishead album. It's their third, and it's simply called Third. We'll get to a tune. We get right back here to the World Cafe.